The rear of an old milliner's shop in Darling Street, East Melbourne, client number 114 glanced up and down the lane and slipped quietly through the gate. She unlocked the back door, lowered all the blinds, and as she moved through the kitchen and workroom to the old shop front, she turned the lights on. Again, she checked the curtains, was pulled tight before removing her hat and placing it carefully on an old milliner's block. She removed her coat, brushed the damp from it and hung it in a cupboard under the stairs. She went up to her bedroom where she unzipped her skirt, unbuttoned her blouse and kicked her shoes into a corner. Hoisting up her petticoat and rolling her step-ins down, she peeled off her stockings and kicked the warm, soft mass into the corner with her shoes. Then she luxuriated in scratching her hairy stomach. Later, comfortable in her cushioned armchair, wearing harem pants and Alibaba slippers, she knitted, her thick hands working away in the light of the standard lamp. She sipped her gin and tonic and sighed, whistling a little. Suddenly, she dropped her knitting and bolted down the stairs to the front door, her slippers scraping across the old English tiles. A plain envelope waited in the wire letterbox attached to the back of the door. She gently picked it up and turned it over in her big, soft hands. On the back, painted in elegant type, were two words, Salon Mystique. Breathless, she went to the writing desk, took a pearl-handled pocket knife and sliced open the envelope. Then she carefully extracted the letter and with one hand on her beating heart read, "An appointment has been allocated for your first fitting. Please telephone to confirm. Thank you, Madame Flock. Telephone 861231. "Oh, my pretty hat," she said, fanning herself with the envelope. When Claire arrived on the landing and directed Tilly to go downstairs immediately, Tilly replied, "I'm fixing Mrs. Drum's dress. Valda should go. She's had a workroom." "It's the sarong dress," said Claire. Tilly felt the knot in the pit of her stomach pull. Valda asked, "Is the client displeased?" "On the contrary," Claire said, "though it's obvious something plain and black would have served her better." Tilly gathered her tools, squared her shoulders, and followed Claire's slender mannequin's physique, the dressmaker's stands and the machines passing dreamily. Then they went down the narrow staircase lined with photographs of models in unremarkable garments and entered the main salon. Skirted the gilded imitation chaise lounge and the reception desk, where Claire turned slowly, smiled, and pulled the curtain aside. And there, on a small stool in the middle of the fitting room, against a backdrop of creamy draped curtains, stood the pale cylindrical form of Sergeant Farrett, his stomach straining against the parakeet-coloured dress and the thick brassiere corset straps pinching down on his furry bare shoulders. His makeup was immaculate and his wig understated. He was beaming. Then his expression fell, taking the joy with it. "Your hair," he said. He had not seen her for nearly 2 years, and Myrtle Dunnage no longer appeared fragile. Her chin was squarer and she was leaner, harder, beautiful, but still without the glow of life. She ran her fingers through her short, dark crop. "Much easier, but my hats are all too big now," the sergeant said, "but it's so unbecoming." And she said, "Well, I'll grow it for you," because she knew her short crop marked her as odd in a city full of stiff brown curls and neat buns. And she also knew that her cover was about to be blown completely. The thread holding her to her bloody past was unbreakable. She circled the sergeant, scrutinising the drape of the sarong dress. "What do you think of your gown?" "Oh, it's perfect," cried Sergeant Farrett. And Tilly said, "But you look like a Christmas bonbon." Claire said, "Oh," and Mrs. Flock said, "I do apologise." But client number 114 spread her arms and said, "Oh, shush. Tilly, you remembered my shape so well. Do you think we should add a little cap sleeve?" "Yes." Tilly smiled and stepped towards the sergeant. "And we'll do some sculpting to give the illusion that you have a waist." "Oh," gushed Farrett, touching his false bust. "You could give me a waist, truly?"